Okay, welcome. This talk is about Flex Measures. It's a Linux Energy Foundation project. It's about optimizing the use of flexible assets, so it's really related to the talk we just heard as well. And I'm glad that we had an introduction about what you need to optimize in the different time horizons. So that really sets the scene. I'll be talking a little bit about Flex Measures, but I have talked about it earlier. Today I'll talk about something we're working on, which is expanding the use of Flex Measures past optimizing sites and going to the community level. So Flex Measures, briefly what it is a smart planning layer. The goal is that anybody, any organization that is offering energy services where flexibility of the assets, heat pumps, batteries, and so on, or industry processes plays a role, that they can adapt whatever they're doing to add something smart on top. We've also really thought about the developer in that, so there's lots of tooling, so developers can use CLIs, APIs, Docker, and so on to make it work for them. As I said, I talked earlier about Flex Measures and various things we did, so check that out. Flex Measures is meant to be a live platform. So you have a UI, and we can really see what your structure of your assets is that you're optimizing. You can really talk about the way that it should handle flexibility in the UI now. That's something new we did last year that was basically hidden in models and the API. And we also added, just as Aku Doctor, we have, of course, Swagger Docs to really interact. It's a status page, what's happening now. But I also want to highlight today that it's also very scriptable. So there's a Flex Measures client, and then you don't have to think about the API. You basically write functions like here on the top. I want to create a structure. Please make me some assets. These should be the dashboards that I want to see for this kind of site. And very importantly, this is how you should handle flexibility for that site. So this is how, you know, the constraints, but also the way I want to, flexibility to be treated. And scripting sites can be very nice if you have basically something that you want to repeat. Maybe you're a business organization, you want to bring up the same kind of sites again and again, and you've clicked it together, you see it works, you can now script it and have maybe 50 or 100 sites like that. Of course, it's also usable for simulations. And it's an example dashboard that is then made by just running that script. So we have an example in the Flex Measures client repository where then, you know, something like this appears. This actually is a little simulation where you see 2 weeks of data that has been loaded in and then some optimization happens. Okay. But community energy management system, that's a new term. I think this term is quite established, so I didn't make it up. What is it? It is the case of several sites, of several houses, homes, buildings, but also business parks that want to operate on some level together. So their energy consumption needs to be coordinated in some way. And the motivation is, in the Netherlands, for instance, often that the grid connection is limited and there can be no new companies registered at the business park. Or a new neighborhood cannot be planned, certainly not with new modern energy devices like electric cars or so, because actually for 5+ years out, there will be no bigger connection. And energy, there are pooling your energy capacities together is one way out of this. Of course, you can also pool the flexibility you have and actually maybe have a joint business case. And you want to share your local energy, maybe. You have solar panels locally, and the intention is that you don't push that to the grid and then half an hour later get someone else's energy from the grid again. All that would be part of this community energy management system. And I want to briefly talk about two ways you can look at that. So this, what I'm calling the fleet design, would be that you have these sites, and they all transmit some data and maybe some forecasts and preferences to this community energy management system, and that would be in charge of looking at all the assets like a big fleet and then say, well, I think I'm making a big plan for all of you This is a big optimization problem. Here you go. You do this, you do this. A different design might be, and that's what we have decided to go for in an ongoing project actually here that I'm mentioning. It also is together with TNO, who had a talk just earlier, is that at each site actually makes its own schedule, just as before, and just in the talk we had before. But then on a higher level, we look at that schedule aggregated of all the schedules, and they say, well, this would work or it wouldn't work, because maybe at 4 p.m. that would create a peak, that's an aggregated peak that the DSO doesn't allow us to do, for instance. And then give feedback and ask the local energy management systems to, you know, adjust what they were planning to do. We see some advantages with that. So in that research project, we actually had a discussion. We looked at that and talked, had a couple meetings, what should we be doing. Each approach has some advantages and drawbacks. So we decided this one is the one we're going for these kind of advantages. We like that it preserves the autonomy for each of the sites to do things their way, to add assets, and don't necessarily have to, you know, tell everybody about it, to have maybe even their own energy contract, to keep things autonomous for themselves. Might also be a bit more scalable if you're really doing these optimizations and you don't have to worry about adding more. Okay, I have a short talk, so I can't go into how we did that within flex measures a lot. I'll just do two slides like this. Here I want to show how in the development we're currently doing, so we're currently prototyping this, we've added a community scheduler, and in flex measures we have schedulers, we have algorithms, not genetic algorithms, but more in the linear programming and towards quadratic programming. But you can add your own schedulers. So flex measures is a very extensible system. That's the point I'm making here. And this is a bit the code that we're doing. So this is basically registering a new scheduler. Now, in this case, the community scheduler. And here you see a bit the logic I was just highlighting, right? We're computing the aggregates from the schedules. We look if there are breaches. So if at 4 p.m., for instance, there would be a peak altogether, that's not allowed. And the way we're doing it is creating a feedback that is actually nudging all the local EMSs to adjust their schedule around that time. That's what we're calling a peak price approach. The second code slide, this would be how we're actually scripting, basically, to run that. So there's a async call for all the EMS schedulers to make the schedule, and once they're all there, then we decide, can the community run for the next 24 hours like this? Are all the plans okay, or do we need to tell them to do an iteration period and adjust them? That's not rocket science over here. That's the actual optimization is still being made by the EMSs. How much time do I have?
6 minutes.
All right. This is how this looks in the Flex Measures UI. If we create this community with two homes, actually, and they all have some devices, and each of these devices has its own little Flex configuration, how should I be treated, and so on and so on. And then here, this would be the dashboard. I have enough time to switch and also show how in the Flex Measures UI you can click on that play button up there. Sorry, this should work again. And you can see how these flows develop. So this is the whole dashboard we made for the community. And here we're stepping a bit through time to really see and what are these plans that we know about? That's the dotted lines. And while we go through time, how are the plans that we have developing? So here there's a little button that we can hit to just do one step at a time. Right, going back. And, well, I'm of course here to show the first results. So this would be what happens if we don't have that community EMS layer on top of the flex measures. EMS is doing their thing, not being aware of the shared problem of the limited capacity. So the limited capacity here would be that orange line. And for the first hours, we're way above that. And then here is the outcome that has happened after the community EMS found out there's a problem, applied some peak pricing so that they all adjust their own flexibility optimizations. And we're coming out pretty okay. I think there's a realization error because, as we also discussed in the talk earlier, if you don't have perfect forecasts, so you cannot be sure that your plan will actually be exactly happening like that. And optimization planning is making the best of all the forecasts you have. And then there's still the task, of course, for a more direct time loop to fix these errors as well. But what we need to do in energy optimization planning is to bring the system plan to a very close state, a better state. Well, that's the end of this talk. So the community energy management system prototype that we're building has this first design decision, right? No fleet control, but this federated control. The first prototype shows that it's working. There's a few things we can talk about. I have some other slides here about, for instance, the waterbed effect. What happens if they all move, they all make the very same decision to move, let's say, from 4 p.m. and they all move to 5 p.m. That's a very interesting problem, and then we have a few ideas to work on that. But of course, there's also more that the community energy management system can do. As I said earlier, not only preventing that there's peaks above a certain limit on the substation, but there's even nudging towards self-consumption, nudging towards maybe even making money as a community, because there's flexibility options from the grid where you can make increase your profits. Well, I'll stop there. Thank you for listening. Any question? Please.
How does the community EMS communicate with the different sites? So it's only the pricing, so peak pricing, or is there some way like to cut some sites or cut some?
The question is how the communication between the community EMS and the local EMSs actually looks like, right? So at this moment we've decided that it's price signals or even capacity signals. So the first level is prices, and that's basically a nudging approach. You could also call it penalties, right? The community EMS is not actually charging money at the end, but using the, because it's an economic optimization at the end, using prices as a nudging. But if a few iterations have passed and the solution isn't there, then a second level can be capacity. So say, well, please stay within this kilowatt limit. You're not allowed to go above it, for instance.
There's a question from the internet. How does the CMS integrate with those assets?
So the question is how the CEMS integrates with the assets. That question might be regarding how we actually control assets. And the answer to that would be that flex measures itself is not, it's just a planning layer, so it doesn't actually talk to any asset specifically. We have also some home assistant integrations. There is a home assistant integration for flex measures itself, so that's similar to the talk we had earlier. And we're also integrating with some smart gateway companies who are actually the experts to really talk to specific assets. That's a big topic that we are not focusing on. Yes, please.
What types of organizations are using this, and what sort of scales are they, and where are they?
The question is, what type of organizations at what scale are using this? What in this research project, what's happening is the focus would be on residential neighborhoods. And so that was that motivation came from. But we also think that is equally useful for business parks. And then you're looking at SMEs, I would say. So certainly if they have higher energy consumption, then the same principle can apply. So, this doesn't happen in every country yet, but certainly in the Netherlands, businesses can't actually electrify or even get grow their business because the DSOs have to tell them that their capacity isn't growing. So the motivation is there on that level to find solutions like this. We're looking at the technical solution here, but the main bottleneck actually is more organizational for all of them to come together and agree to give up their individual contracts and go into collective contracts and so on. All right, that's it. Thank you very much.